And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy, and we're going to get right on into our commentary this week. Our commentary is from our old friend Oak this week, and we haven't heard a commentary from Oak in a long time, and he just sent me a tape with three more commentaries on it, and I thought this one was kind of nice, so let's listen to this one first.
Wash day drudges unite. As a grubby, smudge-stained lad rummaging beneath rocks for bugs and adventures in the lawnless backyard of the New York suburban home he grew up in during the 1950s, our protagonist was often witness to the seemingly endless act of his mother hanging out the wash. Who would have ever thought that some few decades later such a chore would be practically unheard of? In fact, in some quarters, the act is considered subversive to the status quo. Word has it that in many communities in the U.S., gated or otherwise, hanging out the wash, even if such an outrageous act was considered, is against the law. As I bypassed the dryer this afternoon, opting for the near-perfect drying weather outside his door, something in the air besides a stiff breeze and a warm sun was lurking over by the clothesline. Before the third washcloth was draped over the line, it came to him in the guise of the mental visage of his dear old mum and her laundry basket. Hanging out the wash at the turn of the 21st century is a revolutionary act. It flies in the face of consumerism and easy living. It is an affront to the petrochemical industry, the Chamber of Commerce, and the flag. Almost nobody hangs out the wash anymore. The fact that some communities don't even allow it makes the act all the more tempting. Whatever became of all those clotheslines strung between the tenements in New York City? Has the air been so foul that the clothes come in dirtier than when they went out? Or did City Hall pass an ordinance condemning washerwomen and washermen to those hellish laundromats with their endless appetites for quarters? Regardless of the history of this de-evolution in domesticity, rest assured that appliance makers and utility industries and the minions of the status quo want you to continue burning up the BTUs with those Whirlpool dryers. That may make sense when it's 2 degrees Fahrenheit outside, but when the sun is singing to the world, it is positively wacky to resort to kilowatts in wires. Join the revolution. Take out the wash. Anyway, that's the view from this Oak for Earth First Radio.
All right, let's get right on back into announcements here on Earth First Radio. The Appalachian Wildlands Conference is coming up in Bethesda, Maryland, April 7th. This is a one-day conference that will initiate the Appalachian Wildlands Preserve Project to reconnect forests and wildlands in Maryland to those in adjacent states. Speakers will include Dave Foreman, Ed Perry of the Fish and Wildlife Service, and author of Mountain Lion and Appalachian Forest, Chris Bolgiano. For more information, contact Doris Fauzi at 301-949-5057. That's Doris at 301-949-5057, or send email to doris719@aol.com. That's doris719@aol.com. Or you can visit their webpage at www.magicalalliance.org. And Environmental and Labor Alliances to meet. The second annual meeting of the Alliance for Sustainable Jobs and the Environment will be held in Portland, Oregon on Saturday and Sunday, April 7th and 8th, with an action agenda addressing current issues, including the proposed Free Trade Area of the Americas, the U.S.-Canada Softwood Lumber Agreement, which is about to expire, and the corporate accountability and creating jobs through forest and watershed restoration. The event is open to the public at no charge, begins at 9 a.m. Saturday morning, April 7th, at Smith Hall on the Portland State University campus in downtown Portland. Panels and workshops will address the above topics, plus energy deregulation, the right to organize, and just transition initiatives to move to a more sustainable economy. If you'd like more information, contact ASJE at 503-736-9777. That's 503-736-9777. Or visit their webpage, www.asje.org. That's www.asje.org. ASJE is the Labor and Environmental Coalition, born of the understanding by steelworkers locked out by Kaiser Aluminum, owned by Maxam Corporation, and Earth First forest activists fighting logging in the redwoods by Pacific Lumber, also owned by Maxam, that they faced a common enemy. ASJE believes that environmental and labor advocates will be more effective when we recognize that the same corporate policies, economic forces, and public policies affect both the environment and workers. Also coming up this coming weekend is the Solidarity Conference, April 6th through 8th, at State College in Pennsylvania. This is the site at which thousands of activists from numerous political and social movements will converge to learn about a variety of issues, from the free trade area of the Americas, there's that name again, and the future democracy, the biotechnology and globalization, protesters' rights, the EZLN, also known as the Zapatistas, radical parenting and prison issues. Among some 20 other speakers, Howard Zinn and Jello Biafra will be there. Check out the following website for more details, www.geocities.com/solidarityconference. That's geocities.com/solidarityconference, all one word. Or you can send email to solidarityconference@hotmail.com. Or if you insist on calling, it's 814-880-8826. 814-880-8826. And the world's most destructive bank is feeling the heat. And all across the country, people have been standing up to the world's most destructive bank, Citigroup. And coming up on April 11th is the International Day of Action Against Citigroup. This is your chance to organize a demonstration, vigil, informational picket, guerrilla theater, or nonviolent direct action at the City Branch office near you. Contact Rainforest Action Network for an organizer's packet and ideas for creative action. Contact Becca, that's BEKA, at RAN.org, Becca at RAN.org, or 1-888-840-6416. That's 888-840-6416, or just dial 1-800-989-RAIN and check it out. Of course, always www.ran.org and search around the webpage for there. Hey, all you Earth Firsters in Arkansas, there is a new Yahoo group trying to build an Earth First movement here in the natural state. Trust me, the way things are going, if we don't get off our butts, there won't be much left around here to refer to as natural. If you are in Arkansas or in a bordering area, come on and sign up. You need email. Go to groups.yahoo.com. This is a webpage, /group/Earth First Arkansas. Once again, there's no triple W in this one, folks. Just type in groups.yahoo.com/group/Earth First Arkansas. You're there. Hope all you Arkansasians can get together and save the damn state. It's a pretty place. Been there. Environmental, we already read that one. Got two of those in there. I don't know how we did that. Trinity Alps salvage scam. Comments are needed. The Six Rivers National Forest in California has released a draft environmental impact statement outlining a proposal to salvage log the 1999 Megrim fire area west of the Trinity Alps wilderness. The proposed fuels reduction for Community Protection Phase 1 project will log approximately 1,000 acres of ancient forest in the Mill, Horsalinto, Sharber, and Quinby Creek watersheds, including within unprotected roadless areas. Approximately 4/10 of a mile of new roads will be constructed, and 2.5 miles of previously used roads will be reconstructed. I'm not going to read all of this, which I did last week, but to obtain a copy of the draft environmental impact statement, write to John Larson, Lower Trinity Ranger District Office, P.O. Box 8, Willow Creek, California, 95573. That's John Larson, Lower Trinity Ranger District Office, P.O. Box 8, Willow Creek, California, 95573. Or you might try calling him at 530-629-2118. That's 530-629-2118. If you'd like to make a comment on the draft environmental impact statement, those are due by Friday, April 27th. The address for comments is Lou Woltering, Six Rivers National Forest, 1330 Bayshore Way, Eureka, California, 95501. That's Lou Woltering, W-O-L-T-E-R-I-N-G, Six Rivers National Forest, 1330 Bayshore Way, Eureka, California, 95501. And they say to send a letter, fax, or phone call to the Chief of the Forest Service, Mike Dombeck. Unfortunately, Mike Dombeck resigned from the Forest Service this week in protest of the environmental policies of the Bush administration. This was a banner week for the son of a shrub. He repudiated the global warming treaty, and he also said that he's not going to stop carbon dioxide emissions in the United States, which we need to do. Help save the Denali National Park wolves. Last week, three of Denali National Park wolves were killed after being drugged for radio collaring by Park Service researchers. The alpha female of the sanctuary pack, along with the alpha male of the Toklat wolves, failed to recover from what appears to be an overdose of the drug used to dart them. A pup in the Otter Creek pack was also killed. The Toklat and sanctuary wolves are the most viewed, most photographed, and most famous group of wolves in the world. The recent approval by Alaska's Board of Game of a mere 19 out of 650 square miles needed for protection for the wolves amounts to tokenism for these two packs and is grossly ineffective in protecting them. But the tragedy doesn't end there. The sanctuary alpha female was the only remaining adult member of the pack after her mate died of natural causes earlier this year. Poor judgment on the part of the Park Service to dart her now means that a single 10-month-old pup may be all that remains of this family, whose other pups have disappeared in the heavily trapped area. There's also gross negligence exercised by park researchers when they not only killed the Toklat alpha male, but darted and collared his pregnant female, who may abort her unborn pups from the effects of the drugs. Surviving these losses isn't the only threat facing the surviving members of the Toklat and sanctuary wolves. On the state lands bordering the park, wolf killers have their traps set until trapping season ends April 30th, including a man who operates a popular lodge for visitors coming to see Denali's wildlife and another who works for the National Park Service. Both are legally allowed to trap these wolves with an Alaskan trapping license. Please tell the National Park Service that these killings are inexcusable and new procedures, including follow-up care on darted animals, be put in place before any further radio collaring is done. Demand that all trapping by Park Service employees, regardless of whether or not it is legal on state lands, is unacceptable and should cease immediately and forever. Urge the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to call an immediate emergency closure of all hunting and trapping on both the sanctuary and Toklat wolf territories. Please contact the National Park Service and demand that they do all they can to protect these world-famous wolves from extinction. Here's the address. Please contact Robert Arnberger, A-R-N-B-E-R-G-E-R, Alaska Regional Director, National Park Service, 2525 Gamble Street, that's G-A-M-B-E-L-L, Anchorage, Alaska, 99503. That address again, Robert Arnberger, Alaska Regional Director, National Park Service, 2525 Gamble Street, G-A-M-B-E-L-L Street, in Anchorage, Alaska, 99503. You can give Robert a call at 907-257-2690. That's 907-257-2690. Or you can send a fax to 907-257-2533. And if you can, please help support the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. Their address, P.O. Box 202022. That's 202022, Anchorage, Alaska. And I guess the zip code is 99503. I don't think they have more than one zip code in Anchorage, but anyway, give that a try. Alaska Wildlife Alliance, P.O. Box 202022, Anchorage, Alaska, 99503. Or you can visit their webpage at www.akwildlife.org. Coming up is the on April 17th is the National Day of Action Against Trader Joe's. Greenpeace, Genetic Engineering Free Los Angeles, and the Northwest Resistance Against Genetic Engineering Northwest Rage have launched campaigns against food retailer Trader Joe's due to their continued use of genetically engineered ingredients in their store brand products and their refusal to address the concerns of their customers. Trader Joe's has already heard from thousands of consumers concerning their genetically engineered foods and has still failed to take action. Trader Joe's has built their reputation on leading the field in labeling and demanding milk free of controversial genetically engineered growth hormone RBGH, designed to increase milk production in cows. They also carry and promote several organic products under their brand name. But by continuing to support genetically engineered food, they threaten the very organic and small family farmers they claim to support. In recent press statements, Trader Joe's has towed the biotech industry line that GE foods are no less nutritious than their non-GE counterparts and that they are sanctioned by the Food and Drug Administration as being perfectly safe. And Uncle Dennis might add that there's no, absolutely no evidence that the Food and Drug Administration ever has ruled that any genetically food is absolutely or perfectly safe. In fact, Food and Drug Administration doctors have strenuously objected to that political label. Continuing on, they have even gone so far as to say that the concern over genetic engineering foods is hysterical. Consumers rely on companies like Trader Joe's to do the right thing. They have ignored or refused attempts by several groups to meet with them and to discuss are very seriously concerned about genetic engineering. Tell Trader Joe's to protect our health and the environment. Tuesday, April 17th is a national day of action against Trader Joe's. They have stores in 13 states, including Arizona, California, Connecticut, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Washington, and consumers in all these states should be heard. Tell Trader Joe's to do the right thing by eliminating genetically engineered ingredients from their store brand products. If you're interested in organizing or participating in an April 17th event at Trader Joe's, please contact Heather Whitehead at Greenpeace. Her number, 415-512-9024. That's 415-512-9024. Or you can send email to Heather at heather.whitehead@sfo.greenpeace.org. That's heather.whitehead@sfo.greenpeace.org. And, of course, you can always go to the Greenpeace True Food Network. That is www.truefoodnow.org. That's www.truefoodnow, all one word, .org. Help stop Europe's largest logging operation ever. Europe's largest logging operation is underway in a semi-arid region of southern Portugal. A million cork oaks and olive trees. I didn't say anything different, folks. A million cork oaks and olive trees, many of which are ancient old growth trees, are being cut down to make way for Europe's largest dam reservoir. The Alqueva Dam on the River Guadiana in southern Portugal will create the largest dam reservoir in Europe. In order to make room for the reservoir, the company responsible for building the dam has ordered Europe's most extensive logging operation ever. In addition to the massive loss of old growth trees, the region is the habitat of highly endangered species, including the Iberian lynx, golden eagles, and river otters. Portuguese environmentalists and citizens are calling for international support because it is still possible to limit the damage. Much less land would be lost and 400,000 trees could be saved if the initial dam height is lowered to not higher than 139 meters above sea level. Take action and join their urgent appeal for help. You can help limit the damage by sending an email to Prime Minister of Portugal and the Environment Commissioner for the European Union. Tell a friend about this alert by visiting www.actionnetwork.org/campaign/logging/forward. Once again, that web address is www.actionnet.org/campaign/logging/forward, and you can send emails to both of those people from there. And we thank the Action Network for Environmental Defense for that email. Are you looking for the Casey Neal Trio? Well, on April 5th, they'll be in Bellingham, Washington at the Wild Buffalo for their Portland West Live at St. John's live CD release tour. This is great stuff. I don't know what time these shows are, but let's assume they're in the evening, okay? April 6th, Casey will be at Port Townsend, Washington at Sirens. Hope you can find that. It isn't that big a town. I've walked around it in about 20 minutes. April 19th, they'll be in Seattle, Washington at the Tractor Tavern at 8 p.m. They play first, so get there early. Don't know where the Tractor Tavern is, but if you live in Seattle, Washington, it's probably in the book. April 20th in Portland, Oregon at St. John's Pub. That's where the hometown CD release at the venue where the album was recorded. Show is $10, starts at 9 p.m. There are more shows after that. I'll let you know later on in the week exactly where those are. Let's go to animal news here. Got a little bit of time for animal news, not a whole lot, but We'll get a few minutes in here. A federal judge has placed severe restrictions on the Hawaiian longline swordfish and tuna fishery for up to 75 days, pending completion of a National Marine Fisheries Service environmental impact statement on the effects of threatened loggerhead and endangered leatherback sea turtles, according to Greenwire. The closure and restrictions, according to the Sea Turtle Restoration Project, are probably the largest area ever closed to protect sea turtles, and came after it became clear the National Marine Fisheries Service was not going to meet an April 1st deadline for the environmental review. And there's only one Norwegian wolf left to kill. Hunters in helicopters shot four more wolves over the last weekend to bring the number to eight wolves killed in the Norwegian government cull, and leaving just one to be slaughtered, says Reuters. While hunters say the fresh snow and sunshine contributed to the most successful 2 days since the hunt began, environmentalists are concerned that the wolf population remains too fragile to withstand those killings. And want to thank Green Lines and Reuters and Green Wire for those news updates. And leaving intact protection for red wolves in North Carolina, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear a case in which two farmers in the state of North Carolina challenged the federal government's right to impose endangered species rules on private landowners. The farmers and two counties sued the feds to nullify rules that provided for the reintroduction of the wolves into eastern North Carolina. The plaintiffs complained that the rules prevented them from protecting livestock against wolf attacks. The Clinton administration justified the regulations in part by citing the federal government's constitutional right to control interstate commerce, noting that the wolves' presence in the area has generated tourism. And I want to thank Anne Garan of the Raleigh News and Observer for that news. And a second man has been sentenced for shooting a bald eagle. A Wisconsin man has been fined $1,500 in order to pay $500 restitution and a $25 special assessment for shooting a bald eagle a year ago. Michael Pagel was sentenced by the U.S. Magistrate Judge Patricia Gorenz for killing the eagle while it perched in a tree along a road in Forest County, Wisconsin. Pagel and his cousin Richard Marvin and another man were driving along Old Highway 8 when they spotted the eagle, an immature female, perched in a tree. The three men drove to Pagel's house, retrieved a .22-caliber rifle, and returned to where they first saw the bird. Pagel shot the eagle from inside Marvin's pickup truck. The men took the dead eagle to Pagel's residence, where they removed the wings and feet. Marvin later discarded the carcass in nearby woods. Pagel's the second person to be sentenced for that eagle killing. Richard Marvin was sentenced last year. Local residents told the State Department of Natural Resources Conservation Wardens that Pagel and Marvin were displaying a dismembered eagle foot as a trophy and were speaking about shooting the eagle. The wardens and special agents from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service conducted an investigation that led to the prosecution of the two men. Once classified as endangered under the Endangered Species Act, bald eagles have recovered somewhat and are now listed as threatened. Bald eagles and other birds of prey remain protected by federal wildlife laws such as the Bald Eagle and Golden Eagle Protection Act, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and the Lacey Act. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for news on Earth First Radio. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's cruzief@cruzio.com. Or you can send letters to Earth First Radio. Our address, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And please allow 3 weeks for your notices to get to us in time. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their new address, and I've got it here, folks, is P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. Once again, that's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. If you want to listen to Earth First Radio on your computer, you can do so by going to the website www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. It's free. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, and our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. My name is Uncle Dennis, and I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now we're going to listen to a selection from, I believe this is Robert Hoyt's CD, As American As You. And this one's called The Bottom Line.
Yeah.